Some more bad news for the war-weary Affordable Care Act this week. A Republican takeover of the Congress, for starters. And a Supreme Court justice is deciding to take up a case that could eviscerate the law's health insurance subsidies. But now a major potential political complication for the ACA, and not just for conservatives who already hate the law. Jonathan Gruber is an economist at MIT and one of the consultants and architects not only of the Affordable Care Act in Washington, but of its ancestor health law in Mitt Romney's Massachusetts. And we played a bit of this for you yesterday, but listen again for a moment to more of Jonathan Gruber's remarks made in October of last year at a panel discussion at the University of Pennsylvania.
This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay? So it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Okay, just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass. And, you know, it's the second best argument. Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent. But I'd rather have this law than not.
Now, there's been a huge backlash, as you can imagine, as you've probably heard. Gruber has publicly apologized. He went on MSNBC with Ronan Farrow on Tuesday.
The comment and the video were made at an academic conference. I was speaking off the cuff, and I basically spoke inappropriately, and I regret having made those comments.
Now, some Republicans in Congress are saying they may call Gruber to testify. They'll get their hearings to drag the ACA over the coals, as you might predict. But for a lot of conservatives and even moderate Obamacare skeptics, Gruber's comments go right to the heart of their discomfort about the law and may represent a major political problem. Joining me now to weigh in is Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment, a Washington-based conservative nonprofit. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Todd.
Now, Phil, you were one of the people who got these comments out into the open. There was a fellow in Washington who was kind of posting these comments because he was mad about them. You were one of the people who brought Jonathan Gruber's comments to the world.
Yeah, he was actually from Philadelphia, a guy named Rich Weinstein, right, who got his plan canceled because of Obamacare, and his new premiums were much higher, and he was very upset about that. So he just spent hours watching videos of folks like Gruber and Ezekiel Emanuel, the other folks that sort of designed Obamacare. And he's found these videos, and he started putting them out. And he found one in the summer that was actually very helpful for the litigation that you mentioned in the opening, although not as obvious to people who aren't familiar with the details as to why it was so important. And that's actually been cited in legal briefs. And then last week, he found this one that you just played, which is really remarkable, and he sent it to me. We actually posted that on our YouTube channel, and it's got nearly a million views now, and it's really taken off and gotten a lot of attention all week.
Right. So help us understand the minds of conservatives. Look, we don't need to rehash the last, you know, 4 years. Conservatives hate Obamacare. Liberals love it. I think we can stipulate that. But these comments, you know, they're sort of like Mitt Romney's 47%. You can take it in context or out of context, but it seems like it confirms some of the worst fears or some of the worst impulses that a lot of people have about what this law was about and what the intentions were in passing it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's always been this sense among opponents of the law, and I count myself as an opponent of this law, that it was imposed on the American people against their will, and that it was really elites who thought they knew better for people, you know, than those people knew for themselves. And that mentality offends a lot of people. And frankly, the liberals who support the law have always denied that that's what this was about. They've always said they only had the best of intentions and so forth. And so to get this video where, you know, he says, well, I was at an academic conference, as if that excuse uses it, as if this is a normal way to speak at academic conferences about the stupidity of the American voter being a reason to conceal from them what the real content of this law is. I just think it's a very powerful confirmation of all the suspicions that we've had.
Now, if we parse this a little bit, you cannot call American voters stupid and have them hear it. Nobody would like that, nor should they. But isn't it true, really, Phil Kirpin, in Washington, you know, maybe not stupidity, but American ignorance or even detachment from the way laws are written, really does have a lot to do with when they pass. The Affordable Care Act seems like, in a lot of ways, it's like most of the tax code, where if people were aware not only of what's in it, but the deals that were made to pass it, they would be on Capitol Hill with torches and pitchforks.
Well, I think there's a major difference in degree here. I do think there's a certain opacity to almost everything that happens legislatively. It's, you know, the process is not very open. It's hard to make it open, although...
People are disengaged from it by desire. They don't want to be part of the sausage making.
Well, and frankly, Todd, that's a reasonable impulse. I think most people have other more important things in their lives. They've got their jobs, their families, and so forth. They shouldn't be following every detail of everything that happens in Washington. But what was remarkable about the healthcare law in particular is you had a very, very high level of engagement from the American people. I know a lot of people who'd never really been involved in politics before who read the entire 2,000-page bill, who were concerned about all of these specific things that were in there. And they were being told repeatedly that they were wrong, that it wasn't true, that they didn't understand, that they were condescended to. And it turns out that a lot of that was deliberately dishonest, that people who thought they understood this law and were told they didn't actually understood it pretty well in many cases.
Then again, for Jonathan Gruber to say American voters would be aghast if they knew that the young and healthy pay more and the old and sick get money, surprise, that's called health insurance. That's exactly how it works.
Although, you know, the big difference between going from medically underwritten insurance to the sort of the system the way it works now, where everyone basically pays the same amount, is we've now detached the amount you pay from the actual risk you represent. And so there is sort of an embedded political redistribution there. And I think that's what he was referring to.
Well, Phil Kirpin, Jonathan Gruber is not going to be on the ballot in 2016. I can almost guarantee you that. Do you see his comments in political ads attacking other Democrats in 2016? Can that be effective?
I think it's way too early to say. I think we've got to see what they actually accomplish on healthcare over the next couple of years. And I'm actually pretty optimistic that we're going to be able to do some positive things, even some bipartisan things, to get rid of some of the worst parts of this law.
Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment, a conservative group in Washington, one of the people who brought Jonathan Gruber's comments to the public. Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.